Good morning. Welcome to each one, and glad we can be gathered in the house of the Lord this morning. Thank you each one for coming. There's quite a few of our people missing, so it's good to see each one here, and I just trust that as we have gathered that the Holy Spirit can minister to our needs this morning, and we can be encouraged to in our Christian life this morning. I've been challenged in my personal life recently on the about gratitude, and am I thankful? I guess some questions that I challenge myself with sometimes is, in the morning when you wake up, what are some of the first thoughts that come to your mind? Do you think about God? Do you think about what all I have to do today? Do you think about a coworker that's been getting under my skin? For you as children, do you think about all the things I have to do in school today? What is some of the first things that go through your mind in the morning? Are you thankful to be alive? Do you recognize who God is? What do you think about? And these are challenges that I find in my own life. Maybe I realize when I look at my life that, you know, there's some of us that are different. We have different personalities. I'm mostly pessimistic by nature, and so therefore I oftentimes find myself thinking on the negative side and not being thankful. And I know gratitude comes easier for some of us, possibly. And yet this morning, as I was thinking of and asking God what to share in a message this morning, I felt led to share about, and the title this morning is going to be Gratitude or Entitlement. Which end of the spectrum do I find myself on? Do I feel entitled to things, or am I thankful for what others and God do for me? The ones of you that know me the best know that I'm not very techie, so I don't have a PowerPoint this morning, but I'm going to try to read from Scripture and look at Scripture to see what kind of difference it can make in my life if I feel like I'm entitled or if I am grateful for what others are doing for me. And I'd like to use Scripture to do that. Thinking about gratitude, what is gratitude? And one definition I found that I really like is it says pausing to notice and appreciate the things we often take for granted. That's every morning, pretty much, I think. God is not entitled to give me anything. And Lamentations says that is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Every morning, God's mercies are new to us. And I don't really do anything to deserve that. Sometimes when I look at the world and all the evil that's in it, sometimes I'm surprised God doesn't wake up one morning and say, I'm done. I'm just done with man. But God in His mercy gives it to us every morning. What am I doing with that? Am I pausing to notice? Or do I feel like God owes it to me? Thanksgiving. Acknowledgement of benefits or favors, especially talking about giving thanks to God for the benefits and favors He gives to us. How about entitlement? What does entitlement mean? Entitlement definition is believing oneself to be inherently deserving of privileges or special treatment. And as I looked at these two opposites and how they relate to my life, I think God is the author, or God is the one that can give us a thankful spirit. Entitlement is naturally what we feel. And I even had to think of a baby's born. It doesn't take very long until they have needs, they cry. That's what they want. They feel entitled. They feel like that's how they get what they want. And it's our human nature. The devil actually is the author, I think, of the entitlement mentality. And I feel like I'm worthy. I do something. I'm worthy of these things. But I think as I continue to look at how God changes my life and how Thanksgiving comes into my life, I realize that Thanksgiving actually becomes a way of life. It's not something that comes naturally to probably anyone. And yet, I mean, Like I said earlier, there's differences in personality. Some of us are possibly easier to look on the bright side of life. And yet, I think our human nature is bent towards not being thankful and not recognizing, pausing to recognize and notice what others are doing for us. An attitude of gratitude, I believe, has the power to change my life and has the power to change how I look at life. And like I said, I'm going to be reading a fair amount of scripture, and I would invite you to follow along. As a text, there's two different scriptures I'm going to read for a text. First one's found in Romans 1, and I have a King James Bible, but I'm going to be reading out of the King James, so if you have a different translation, I still invite you to follow along. I'm going to be reading in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." And I'd like to especially notice verse 21. I'll just read it again. It says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Is not being thankful a big deal? How do I look at it in my life? And the second passage I'd like to read is found in Psalms. And Psalm 106. And this one is talking about the Israelites. And probably many of us, if we've studied the Bible much, we know who the Israelites were. They were God's chosen people, and they had been captives or slaves in Egypt, and God came through Moses and miraculously delivered them out. This passage in Psalm 106 is talking about when God brought them out and some of the things that he did for them. And as we're reading, I'm going to be reading quite a bit here, but 1 through 25 I thought to read, but let's especially notice verse 14 and 15 as we read through this passage, and thinking about thankfulness and how God had brought these people out and how they responded to him. Psalm 106 verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance." And then verse 6 starts a little bit, and then he goes into what their fathers had done, or their ancestors, the Israelites, had done there. "We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped a molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. Wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach, to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yea, they despised the pleasant land, they believed not his word, but murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Almost in a nutshell, this shows what happened to the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. And just recap a little bit again, but remember they had been there, and after Joseph died, the Pharaoh, the king there, forgot who Joseph was, and he was like, these people are multiplying like crazy. We need to do something to subdue them. And if you remember, he finally passed a law that all the baby boys should be killed, and through the miraculous work of God, when Moses was born, his mother recognized him as someone who would be a leader, and she saved him. And I think most of us know the story, but time went on, and soon the king was, these people were slaves, and they were in bondage, in terrible bondage, had to do a lot of work for the king, and they finally cried out to God, and God sent Moses to deliver them. And Egypt was destroyed by the time they left, even to the point where God killed all the firstborn in Egypt. And here the children of Israel were, and I'm often just amazed at how all the miracles that God had done for them brought them out. And yet, after they were in the wilderness, they soon forgot God, and they were ungrateful, tremendously ungrateful people. And where does that put me today? Also in Romans, I again would just like to turn our minds there just a little bit, talking about a progression here. And I don't know why it just struck me this time when I was studying about thankfulness, but you know, so many times I think, well, being thankful, is that really such a big deal in my life? Like, why would recognizing what God does for me, why does recognizing what other people do for me, does that even have anything to do with my Christian life? Or why would it matter? But we see the progression going here in Romans. It mentions, it says they knew God. So these were not people that grew up never hearing about God. They knew who God was. They knew what God could do for their life. But it says they knew God. Then it says they glorified him not as God. So obviously they were feeling entitled, possibly, feeling like God should do things for them. And then it says, neither were thankful. But really? Does that really matter that much? Like, why? I'm afraid sometimes that I can look at the children of Israel, I can read this passage here, and think, well, but that's not me. But yet I can see that creeping into my own heart at times. And you know, just even practical things. Like, I was just talking with my wife over this weekend. You know, there's some things that I'm responsible for as a husband. I'm asked of God to make a living. I'm whatever. But do I really have to do that for my wife? I don't. Same as God. Like, we can get that entitlement mentality. I come home, I expect the house to be clean. I expect the meals to be cooked and my clothes washed, the laundry done. Does my wife have to do that for me? Maybe it's her responsibility according to what the Bible would teach, and yet we still have a choice. We don't necessarily have to do it. We still have to choose if we're going to do it or not. Now, we do that for each other because we love each other. But I also had to think, you know, it makes it so much easier because my wife says thank you, and I hope I do that for her as well. And just recognizing, is it my responsibility? Yes, it is. But does it make it so much easier when people are thankful and when they actually say thank you? Of course it does. And I think there's more, for me at least, there's more benefited by being thankful and encouraging people than it is to always come home and say, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? And so looking at that, and thinking about my relationship with God in that way as well, I think so many times in my own life, I can come to the place where I say, but God, look at what all I'm doing for you. I'm, you know, we're whatever. In mission work here, we're doing kids club, we're doing, you name it. Like, I'm doing all of this for you, God. Shouldn't I be entitled to something from you? And yet, when I really analyze, God doesn't owe me anything. Nobody owes me anything, really, when I think about it. And so, I'm not sure if I'm being able to share what I'm feeling in my heart, but, like, it becomes a way of life. I can either think that I'm entitled to this, or else I can flip it around and become thankful, and it's going to make all the difference in my life and the people that are around me. Again, just looking at the Israelites, maybe we'll turn to Exodus, and there's just a few scriptures I'd like to look at, and I know that they're in Psalm 106. It talks about a few of these things, but I'd like to just look at them when they were happening. And first one is in Exodus 15, the first verses 1 and 2 there says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. This is talking about, they had come to the Red Sea. The Red Sea was in front of them. Pharaoh's army was behind them. The Israelites came to Moses and said, what are we going to do now? We can't get out of this. We just left, and now we're trapped already. And God, if we know the story, Moses held his rod out over the water. The waters parted. People went through on dry land. Pharaoh's army tried to pursue them, and God brought the water back and killed them all. And that's how he saved them. Here, and I like to be corrected if I'm wrong, but I think this was the only time in the 40 years that they were journeying through the wilderness where the whole congregation of Israel praised God and thanked God for what he had done. I'll be corrected if I'm wrong. But the rest of the time, it seemed like they were always thinking about what they had. And we're going to look at a couple more of them. The next one is in same chapter, chapter 15, verse 24 and 25 says, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree which when he had cast in the waters, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And possibly, I'm well aware this was a huge congregation. There was probably some people that thanked God. I'm aware of that. But it does not mention that even after this second miracle, when God made the water sweet so that they could drink it, it does not mention that they thanked God for it. The next one is chapter 16, just down a little bit, verses 2 and 3. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For he hath brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. And there's one more in chapter 17. Let's read verses 1 to 5. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the water, take in thy hand, and go. And then it says how he smote the rock, and water came out of the rock. But what I'd like for us to notice is how these people had so soon forgotten. And I believe, at least in my life, that many times one of the biggest enemies against thankfulness in my life is just forgetting. I forget what God did for me. And here the Israelites had, they were crying out. They were like, we're in bondage. This is not good. We don't like to be slaves. And They were barely out. They had come through the Red Sea. God had provided that miracle. And I don't know how many days later this was, but they mentioned it twice. They said, "Why did you bring us out here to kill us? Why did you? We're going to die. We don't have any food to eat. We don't have any water to drink." And yet God was miraculously providing for them. And again, there's a progression. And I'd like to read one more scripture in Exodus here in 32, chapter 32. Exodus 32, 1 through 4. "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, 'Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him.' And Aaron said unto them, 'Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them to me.' And the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, 'These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.'" And again, it almost seems like this is the same type of progression that happened later in Romans that Paul wrote about in Romans then. They forgot. And then they started murmuring and complaining and feeling entitled to things. And suddenly they actually came to the place where they made another god and said, "Look, this golden calf that we just, this is what brought you out of Egypt." No, it's not. They forgot about God. And I guess, again, I know I've said it before, maybe I'll repeat myself a lot through the minute, but like, if we feel entitled, we will, it's not only that we're not thankful, I think we're actually moving away from God, not recognizing who God is in our life anymore. So, is thankfulness a big deal in our life? I think it is. And if only Israel would have remembered, like, God brought us out of Egypt miraculously. God parted the Red Sea. That was a miracle. He brought quail and manna every morning for them to eat. It was a miracle. And yet they said, "We're hungry. We can't make it out here. We're going to die. Why did you bring us out here to die?" And just like the passage there, I've often just been challenged with the passage in Psalm where it says, they lusted in the wilderness. They tempted God and lusted in the wilderness. And then it says, God gave them their request, but sent a leanness to their soul. What does that mean? I don't know what that means to you, but God is a God that is just, he loves to bless us. And he loves to pour out his blessings on his children. And yet, when I fail to recognize the blessings in my life, he sent a leanness into their soul. And this morning when we think of leanness, I don't know what you think about, but I realize that when we talk about our weight and things, fat is often a kind of a bad connotation word that we don't like. And yet at the same time, if I think of my spiritual life, we don't want to be lean. We want to be fat and healthy and obtaining all the blessings that God wants to give to us. Especially when we think of little children and babies, like we're always worrying, are they growing? Are they gaining weight? And as a farmer, I see a lot of cattle. We're always worried about weight gains and all that. And this morning, I'd like to just bring that over into our spiritual lives. Let's not become lean in our lives. God promises his blessings to us. Are we recognizing them? Are we fat or are we lean? Are we just skinny, just barely getting by? Am I satisfied with that? Or am I reaching out and receiving God's best by blessing him and by being thankful for what he gives to me? I just believe the Israelites missed out on a lot by not being thankful, and miracle after miracle. And even just as I was studying through this again, I thought, well, it even mentions that their shoes and their clothes didn't wear out. Surely if you'd be traveling for 40 years and your shoes wouldn't wear out, you'd all of a sudden think, well, wow, this is amazing. Like, what's going on here? And yet they failed to realize those blessings. And then, as many of us know, as the story goes, they came to the promised land that God had promised them, and then they said, "We can't do it. We can't go. There's too many giants there. There's too many big things there." And yet they had witnessed many, many miracles from God. And anyway, then that's why they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until the old generation passed away and the new generation came. But I'd also like to just look at a few more instances in Scripture of thankfulness and how it relates to us. There's a passage in Luke chapter 18, that I'd like to look at. And as we look at this example, I'd also like to recognize the fact that we can become proud and arrogant in our lives, and God is still not looking for just a thank you per se, like the word thank you. He's looking for a heart that is truly grateful for what he has done for us. And this is the parable of where two men went to the temple to pray. And again, it's Luke 18, reading from verses 9 to 14. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. He said, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Again, I hope I can share what I'm feeling in my heart, but it says the Pharisee prayed thus with himself, and I don't really believe that he was truly thankful for the blessings that God was giving to him. He had a tremendous heritage, but he was saying, in my own words, he was just saying, like, God, look at all I do for you. Like, I'm entitled to all these blessings that you give me. I fast, I'm not like other people are, I'm not a sinner, I go to church. And yet it says that God looked at him and said, you're exalting yourself, you feel entitled, you're not truly thankful for the blessings that I'm giving to you. And again, I believe that a heart overflowing with thanks is just going to be there. It's not going to be forced, it's not going to be putting on a show for other people, it's just a lifestyle. And I guess, yeah, again this morning, I'd like to bring us back to that. I believe that thankfulness is a lifestyle that we live and an attitude that we have in our lives. The next one I'd like to look at is in chapter 17. And there's two more. I'd like to look at this one and one more of people that were truly thankful for what God had done for them. Luke 17, verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And in verse 19, I like to notice, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I'm possibly reading between the lines here a little bit, but it mentions these 10 men. Leprosy was a disease at that time that was incurable, so short of a miracle, these men had no hope. Jesus came, sent them to the priest, and there was one person that came back, and it specifically mentions that he was a Samaritan. And I don't know, maybe I'm reading between the lines here, but almost seems like the other men might have been Israelites and people of God, people that thought, I deserve this. Like, why wouldn't I deserve this? I'm entitled. I've served God all my whole life. I'm God's chosen people. And yet the Samaritan was the one that recognized that what God had done for him. And he was the one that paused went back to Jesus and thanked him for it. And I believe he found a tremendous blessing in doing that. Possibly, again, the difference between leanness and fatness in our soul. The others were healed. They probably went back to living their old life and going to church and being good people. But I believe this man, Jesus told him, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." I believe he received a blessing by pausing and being thankful that the others knew nothing about. There's one more. Chapter 18 again, verse 35. "And it came to pass that it was as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the way begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before him rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." Here we see a man begging for mercy. He had been blind, he couldn't see, and I'm almost sure that he had probably prayed throughout his life that he could somehow receive his sight. And Jesus came and healed him. Again, he said, "Thy faith hath saved thee." And I just noticed that in these two passages, how Jesus actually, he healed them, but then he also gave them a special blessing. And then they were willing to glorify God. And one thing I noticed here as well, verse 43 says, he followed God, he glorified God. That's praising him. Maybe he wasn't saying thank you, but he was glorifying God for what he'd done for him, out of a thankful heart. And then it says, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. It's not just my life. If I have a thankful attitude, it doesn't only affect me. I believe it affects others around me as well. And as they see my thankfulness, I hope that they can also recognize where our blessings come from. And actually, at least make them pause and think that these things don't just happen. I'm not necessarily entitled to all of this. Another challenge was, for my personal life, is when I pray, as this man probably had, and God does answer my prayer, do I remember to thank him then? And so many times I know I take those things for granted. I pray and pray about a situation. God comes through and he reveals himself in a mighty way. Do I also spend that much time then thanking him for it? Or do I just, well, that's just what God does. He just blesses us. How is it with you? How is it with me? As we think of some practical ways, and does the Bible actually say that we should give thanks? I'd kind of like if I could get some of you to read some scriptures for me. First one is going to be 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8. Did you care to read that one more? 16, verse 8. Maybe we'll just kind of go down the row a little bit. Lily, can you look up one? Do you have okay. Look up Psalm 50, verse 14. And Verlin, if you would do Psalm 92, verse 1. Justin, Psalm 100, verse 4. Do you have one, Lyska? I'm sorry?
Which one?
Can you do Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20? And do you have your Bible, Leslie? No? Ephesians 5, 20. Can you get one, Brad? Do Philippians 4, verse 6. One of you back there? Colossians, is it Tanya? Right? Okay. You want to look Colossians chapter 3, verse 17? Then I have 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Okay, go ahead. And then 1 Timothy 4, 4. Okay. Let's have 1 Chronicles. Okay. Give thanks and tell others about God's blessings to us. Yes, Lily. Thank you. 92.1. Psalm 92.1.
It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to praise and to sing praises unto his name, unto thy name, mm-hmm. O Most High.
Okay, giving thanks, singing praises is part of that, I think. Okay, Psalm 100, verse 4.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name.
Okay, thank you. Thanking God daily, I think. It talks about his courts or when we come into his presence, thanking him daily. Okay, Ephesians 5, verse 20. Okay, giving thanks for everything that he does for us. Philippians 4, 6. Okay, talking about asking God for things, but then also remembering to thank him for them. Okay, Colossians 3:17. 3:17, yes. Okay, thank you. Remembering to, thank God for his blessings. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Okay. 1 Timothy 4, 4.
For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, it can be received with thanksgiving.
Okay. They're just talking about even our natural food and the things that, remembering to thank God even for our food. So, thanks everyone for reading. Appreciate you helping me out there. And I just, again, thinking of practical ways, and does God actually command us to be thankful? Should we be thankful? I think these are just a few scriptures that we can look at to see how God wants us to be thankful. And, even just, I'd like to bring it down into our practical lives today. How often do people hear a thank you coming from our mouth? Simple things. Thanks for the good meal. Thanks for holding the door. And I know there's many of us that do very well with that. But I'd just like to, again, remind us, there's many small things that people do for us daily, and do I pause to thank them for them? And I know you're probably thinking this morning, well, there's some people that just don't deserve to be thanked, and maybe you have a coworker like that, or maybe you know somebody in school like that, but this morning I'd like to challenge us all. There's no one that I know of that does everything wrong. And somewhere throughout the day, you can find something that someone does for you that you can thank them for. And just watch the difference that might make. Now, I'm not talking, I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about people that have, like bad behavior and things that need to be corrected. Of course, every one of us needs, and we're not encouraging those things. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you notice something throughout the day someone does for you, and just one practical area that I thought of in my own life is we sort a lot of cattle. That's my job, and there's always two of us, some days it just seems so frustrating because your coworkers just missing them all, and the wrong ones are going out and the good ones are staying in, and it can be frustrating, and especially when you think that if I'd be standing at the door, it would be going better. And I found in my life that it changes my attitude when I compliment him for one that he did catch or whatever, rather than telling him about all the ones that he's missing. And there again, we can give some corrective criticism. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying, possibly in our lives, would we be better off to thank people rather than showing them all the mistakes? And can I get more accomplished? Do I remember God better in that way? And I don't know, just a challenge for all of us, I guess. I believe that the ones that should hear the most praise and thanksgiving are the ones that we live with in our own house. Do they? Do they hear that from us? And I guess, I don't know how it is for you, but I just thought I'd leave a challenge with all of us, children included. The ones in your house, find something this week, every day, find one good thing that someone does for you and thank them for it. And see what kind of people, what kind of atmosphere, what kind of world that we can live in. And let's make the world around us a more thankful place to live in. Let's bow our heads for prayer, yeah. Thank you, God, for this morning. Thank you for all the blessings that you give to us every day, even blessings that we don't deserve. Thank you for your mercy, your grace, your love. I thank you for the church this morning. I thank you that we could gather in this way. And I just pray now, God, that as we go from here, that you would help us to have a grateful attitude and that we could remember who you are and how you bless us each day. Just pray a blessing upon each one that came today, and I just pray that you would continue to guide further throughout the service. We just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.